The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
All right, we are on a series. This is our series, Powerful Sexuality, Powerful Marriages, Powerful Families. Sexuality has become, we seem to be in a culture that is over-sexualized. Everything's about sex. They sell toys with sex. They sell babies with sex. Everything. I was at a salon over the weekend to do some touch-up. And by the salon where they sell clothes, they were selling clothes, and then they had where they do hair. And then on the table, the cosmetic table, it's a sex toy. I said, sister, hair, clothes, sex toy, what is the connection? He said, ma, this thing is selling like wildfire now. He said, one of my friends that started the business, the business has gone haywire. He said that this is well sold. So someone dashed her for, she has sold three. He's the remaining one. He said, you don't need to market it, it'll just be selling itself. He said, it's selling faster than clothes. I said, don't think about it as a business. If you check those who do online sales, I don't want to mention their names, I'm not advertising anybody. You can see that some of the things that sell, the things that people buy more, is sex toy. What is it about sex that is causing all the confusion? We have families who have forgotten the last time. When was the last time you slept with your wife? I didn't say girlfriend. If you're not sleeping with your wife, something is wrong. We need to check if the thing is working. If it's not working, let's quickly get doctors so that it must work. Because that's one of the reasons why two of you, your wife is not your sister. I was in a counseling and the two people were quarreling in front of me. I said, what is, calm down. He said, ma, I'm not his sister. I said, hold on. Did he say you are his sister? He said, he has not touched me for almost 4 months. What am I? Am I not his sister? I turned to the man, I said, Ross, what did they have? Did they know they walk again? He said, my wife know they behave well, so they didn't know they catch me. I said, then she's your sister. In Christ. Praise the Lord. But God loves sex. God loves sex. Everybody should love sex. Who are married, though? No, even if you're not married, love sex. But don't use it because you don't have NAFDAC number until the time comes. Okay. Don't practice. All right? Some people will wish that the ground will open and they fall in. You are here with me. So we said that last week that sexuality is God's idea, that is not Hollywood idea. And we said that sex is asking for redemption, someone to redeem it. And we all agreed last week that sex is God's plan, that it should happen between marriages. And we also agree that sex, love, and romance is one of the greatest delight as well as one of the greatest pain. And we're saying that God is intimately personal and relational, and he created us like that. And if he created us like that, if we put within us potentials for us to have sexual relationship, he should teach us how to do it so we avoid pain. So last week, for those of us here, we are doing a study of Songs of Solomon to see how we can derive healthy love, sex, romantic relationship from attraction to marriage. Some of our writers are here. It's content development. I'm doing a 7-act play from the Songs of Solomon. The 7-act play. So we did act 1 and act 2 at the first service. So we're entering act 3 at the third service. These are the acts. So those of you who are writing, please look at how to develop a drama out of this. The act of attraction, go with me. Dating scenario, the courtship, wedding and honeymoon, the conflict in marriage, keeping romance in marriage, keeping fidelity in marriage. Okay. We're going to go to the third part, act 3. Act 3 has to do with the courtship and the commitment. At this particular point in time, both of you have decided that we're going to commit ourselves to be mutually exclusive to each other. At this particular point in time, can we have sex? Since we have, both of us have agreed that it is only two of us, nobody else in this ship, should we have sex? What happens in this place will determine whether we should have sex. Songs of Solomon chapter 2 verse 8, he says, listen, my beloved, behold, he is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. So what we are seeing here is intense sexual desire. This man is running from somewhere. When I'm saying running, I'm not talking about the picture. The picture, the metaphor involved is not a metaphor of using his legs to run. It's a metaphor that all the chemicals in his body, all the chemicals, there is sexual arousal. Something is pushing up inside him. His manhood is running. Everything is running. Where is he running to? My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He's piercing through the lattice. Now, the picture of the gazelle or the young stag is actually the picture of two animals in heat. A young gazelle is a female deer, and a young stag is a male deer. So it's a picture that they are in heat. And some of you who were dating someone's child, you remember that when we were younger, you peep through the windows looking for, if you watched Sound of Music, the boy took a stone and was stoning the window so that the girl can come out. This boy is charged. He's looking for a way to bring out this girl. My beloved responded and said to me, so the girl heard now that this my guy is around. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. He's calling the girl to come. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Now, this is springtime, so everything has come alive. That's a picture that he's saying everything in his body has come alive. He is all alive. And what is happening? So we're going to find out. Whatever happens here determines what you will do with your girlfriend or the person you're dating after now. Let's see whether there is trust. The flowers have already appeared in the land. Remember, it's springtime. Everything in their body is coming alive. You make me come alive. Everything is coming alive. The time has arrived for pruning the vines. It is time for two of us, because the intention, that the desire in my body is so high. So the time has come. And the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. Turtle dove is a picture of a beautiful bird. When they mate, they have good relationship. The fig tree has ripened its figs. What he's saying now is that the fig tree is a picture of his penis. My penis is standing. And the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. What he's talking about is the body of the woman. The way everybody is stiff is the Bible. And the vines, one of my sons said I should say everything, so I want to say everything. And the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. She's talking about the vagina of the woman. The girl is wet, and the fragrance that comes from there is coming out. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come along. Something is happening to me. Oh, my dove, in the cliffs of the rock, in the secret place of the steep way. Let's just hide somewhere and get it done. Let me see your form. You know, just show me your entire nakedness. Let me hear your voice. You know, when you're having sex, the things that happen, the voices. For your voice is sweet and your form is lovely. What happens here now is what is going to happen for everyone who is in a courtship. If this man sleeps with this woman, Pastor Ben is now giving everybody the love and life right. Quickly go and sleep with the girl without bride price. So let's find out. Should we go? Catch the forces for me, the little forces that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. In other words, let's not do this. It's not time. The forces, which means premarital sex. There is nothing that removes favor from your marriage and relationship and removes the hand of God like premarital sex. That's what he's talking about. It will destroy everything. Everything we have built from attraction to dating to this point. If we do this, it will destroy it. My beloved is mine and I am his. In other words, we still have this relationship. We have security. We don't need to have sex. I don't need to sleep with you for you to know that you are mine. Some people say, if he doesn't sleep with me, it means that he doesn't really love me. No, I don't need to sleep with you for you to know that I'm serious in this relationship and I'm actually going to marry you. He pastures his flock. Solomon is depicted as a good shepherd. Until the cool of the day, when the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle, a young stag on the mountains of Bether. Because of that, I'm able to pick up the but I want to pick up the mountain of Bether. There's no mountain in the whole of Palestine it's called the mountain of Bether. The mountain of Bether, the word Bether is the word separate. In other words, let us separate so that we won't have to have sex before marriage. I adjure you, all daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the field, that you not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. What he's saying at this particular point in time is, when this thing we are doing, if the sexual arousal takes over our lives, we will not be able to reason well again. Since this is our time of courtship, let's not get the sexual excitement and the sexual arousal to begin, because it will cut things off. It will spoil, it will bring foxes that will damage our relationship. This is where we stopped with the second service. So we now began to say that a couple must grow in their passion. If you are in a relationship, you started with attraction, the passion grows, and then you come into dating. The passion grows, you come into courtship. If this passion is not growing, if there is no growth in your passion when you started your marriage, when you started your relationship, we don't see any growth, it means that marriage eventually is going to have a problem. You see, passion is like pregnancy, in the sense that it starts at a particular time and it ends at a particular time. What happens is, if you abort it halfway through, the pregnancy, the gestation period did not continue. So what you have is a challenge, a physically challenged or retarded relationship, that you continue to have the rip off, the problem in marriage, because the love stages were destroyed before time. All right. So, and every couple must grow in these three stages. You must have theological unity, which means what two of you believe about God. You must have that unity. You must have the unity, the moral unity of conduct that says, this and this and this are our core values. These are our morals. Pastor Ben spoke extensively about morals last month. Philosophical unity. Why did you people come together? His why and your why, are they the same thing? And then genuine unity that has to do with attraction. These are the things that must be there when we're in courtship. So let's go to the honeymoon. In the honeymoon, this is stage four. I'm sure I missed the opening slide for that. In the honeymoon, you have stage four or play four. Let's now find out what we have in this play. During honeymoon, a man must be taught to be gentle. Why? Let's read. We are now in chapter four. We have done chapter one and chapter two and chapter three. So we're now in chapter four. How beautiful are you, my darling? How beautiful you are. Now, look at this man. At the honeymoon, he started from her head until she gets down. Let me read it and then I will explain. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil, speaking about peace. Your hair is like a flock of goats that have descended from Mount Gilead. There's a difference between goats and sheep when they are grazing. When a sheep is grazing, the sheep will stay in one spot, and then there is overgrazing in that place. That place becomes overgrazed. In other words, it loses strength and energy. But for goats, when goats are grazing, goats will graze and then they are moving about. So you don't have overgrazing. The picture this man is talking about here is that in this honeymoon, my beloved, you are not the kind of woman, I know you're not the kind of man that will lie down like a log of wood on the bed and I do all the work and then I'm stressed. You know, because there is something about our tradition that says a woman is not meant to be sexual, She's supposed to just be like her grandmother and show that she is very chaste. Put it in her words. You go show, say you no spoil. So you can just, if they say lie down like that, you just lie down like that. If they say lie down like that. No, this man says, this is not how my own beloved is. My beloved is not like a sheep. She's like a goat. That while the grazing is going on, she's moving about. I say, Pastor Ben, for teach this thing. He said, your teeth are like a flock of newly shorn ewes, which have come up from their washing, all of which bear twins, and not one among them has lost her young. Now, these ewes, what do? There is a time where you remove the fur. If you don't remove the fur, there is overheating. And when there is overheating, they die. What this man is saying here is that the feeling that this girl brings onto him is removing overheating from his body. That he has that feeling of fulfillment and peace. Just having this. He hasn't gone down to touch her vagina. Because at honeymoon, there is something some people do. You say, I've been waiting for this girl for the past 9 months. Will wedding come? So that wedding night, he said it must be this wedding night. You're supposed to approach the girl with gentleness. Some of us, you injured your wife on wedding night and you are even angry. He said, this I have waited for 1 year. Now it is time. You are still telling me, wait for what again? And then it resorts to quarrel. It's not supposed to be like that. This girl, what's the problem? This guy is approaching this girl with a lot of gentleness. He's not approaching her like a Wakanda hero, T'Challa. No, some of us, the way you don't rush the girl on wedding night. It's Bible that said it. I'm just explaining. Now, he has left the teeth. He's now going to her lips. Your lips are like a scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples has gone to her temple now. Your temples are like a slice of. Now, he's using my. This guy is skillful with his words. Your neck is like the Tower of David. I will explain the Tower of David. During that time, the Tower of David was a sign of military fortress. So the country depended on that tower, on the faithfulness and integrity of that tower for their fortress. So, and if you say, he says, built with rows of stones, showing that it is strong, a stronghold, on which are hung 1,000 shields, all the round shields of the mighty men. What he says that is a place of assurance, is a place of stronghold, that is a place of healthy respect. What Solomon is saying about his girl here is saying, you carry yourself with such strength, such nobility, you carry yourself with such faithfulness and such integrity that the people who see you confer that same healthy respect to you. And then neck is also a metaphor. Now, if you see someone, stiff neck is a sign of stubbornness. Bent neck is a sign of shame and humiliation. Now, it's not saying that this girl's neck is like, is the neck you used to do expo in no. They were ignorant. No. This is a symbol of nobility and character. That's what he's describing. Now, he's about to sleep with this girl, but look at all the words and the gentility with which he's going about it. He's not rushing her like Jack Power. He's taking time. Now, he says, your two breasts are like, he's coming down. Are like two, why are you looking at me like that? This Bible I'm reading. Are like two fans, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Now, two fans are actually two baby deer. When you see two baby deer, they are soft and gentle to touch. What he's saying is that I feel like I want to touch your breast and carouse your breast. And then he says your breast also is compared to lilies. He's talking about, it's the two. It's like the white lilies. This is on their honeymoon night. There is nothing about, I will show you today that I am a man. I will show you today. He hasn't injured this girl. He hasn't injured. For those of us who are going to get married, I have four of my children who are going to get married. Don't rush her on the wedding night. He says, Pastor Ben, that made me not to touch, but this night now. You didn't see her say, pull your clothes now. Now, all the senses are part of the sexual experience. The entire thing is an experience. It was a total experience. The guy finished work. Until the cool of the day, when the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. There's no mountain of myrrh in that place, in their country. There was no hill of frankincense. Mountain of myrrh and frankincense, this is talking about essential oils, talking about fragrance, talking about something used in perfume. All of them are very expensive. In other words, I value you so much that I won't treat you like they treat a prostitute. I won't handle you like a prostitute. I will handle you with like someone of value. He said, you are altogether beautiful, my darling. Altogether lovely. And there is no blemish in you. This is the same thing. When they are going to offer sacrifice, sir, when they bring out the best sheep, they will say no blemish in you. You know why he's talking like this to the girl? It is very, very, sometimes it's scary to stand before a stranger naked. Remember that this girl have never stood before this boy naked. Most men, I need you to understand that on the wedding night, especially those of us who went through the growth of passion, the girl is going to be standing before you naked for the first time. What this man is trying to do is to calm down the anxiety so that she won't do it with a lot of fear. Because this particular point in time, I've not done this before. I'm a virgin. And then some of us are saying, a boy told a girlfriend, me, I know if you do the work of virgin, I get her to break virgin, they hard though. Go find who go break them before we start. Yes. Now, all of us, hear me. If you injured your wife on the wedding night, you need to go back because some of them still have that fear. Well, yes, the scars, because listen, can I talk like I feel it? Can I talk like I feel it? I remember the wedding night, they kept asking me, are you okay? I said, I'll wait for you. My husband is a gentleman. I'll wait for you. Even when they when he looked as if there were scars, he joined to massage the things. I said, just take your time. The thing you're going to be with that vagina for a very long time. There's no need to rush it. Calm down. The girl needs to calm down because if she doesn't calm down, she won't be wet. Are we still in church? Verse 8. Now verse 8 is even worse. For those of us who want to melt, just get ready. Come with me from Lebanon. Lebanon is a mountain that has a lot of snow. In other words, come out of that place of coldness where you are afraid. My bride, for the first time, calls her my bride. May you come with me from that cold place called Lebanon. Journey down from the summit of Amana, Amana pumping. Amana speaks of covenant. Come to a place of covenant. From the summit of sinners, from Anhemon. He says, from the dens of lions, from the mountains of... What he's talking about is, my wedding bed is not a den of lions. You're not going to be hurt on this bed. So come out of anxiety, come out of fear, trying to reassure her that he's okay. I'm not going to hurt you. Some of us, the wife you married, the first time she was exposed to sex, in a very wrong way. Someone took advantage of her. For some of us, the very first time we're exposed to sex, it was through defilement and through rape. So for my husband, he had a lot of work to do. It was a scary thing for me. Very scary. In fact, I was thinking about everything about the marriage, but I didn't want to think about the sex part. So when my husband was shouting, I have paid, I was looking at him, you have paid? Yeah, I loved everything about you. Let's do all this, but not this sex part. Because the first time I had any issue with sex, it was painful, it was terrible, it was horrible, and I was a young child, and I couldn't. So whenever you say sex, that's the thing that came to my mind. So you need to take time and so you must talk about your sexual history. You must discuss your sex life. You need to know what works and what does not work. Because some of us, the challenges we're having in our marriages now started that night. That's why Solomon, who was taking his time to tell the girl, it's okay. You are okay with me. You won't be hurt. I won't hurt you. And I won't be violent. Verse 9. You have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You have made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand from your necklace. In other words, by this time, this girl looks up at him. And then he begins, you know what happens when you're about to, the whole hormone, the entire thing, the heart is beating, because we're about to move into the action. How beautiful your love, my sister. He's still talking. My bride. How much better is your love than wine? That's the taste. And the fragrance of your oil than all the kinds of spices. That's the smell. Your lips, my bride, drip honey. You understand what that means? You understand what that means? Honey and milk are under your tongue. And the fragrance of your garment is like, at this particular point in time, there is passionate kiss. Men, women do not start and finish. Men are like this. They start, they are done. For a woman, you must take your time. So this man has started from the head and had gotten to the mouth, and then he's kissing his bride very passionately. That's all. A garden locked is my sister, my bride. She's going down now. This is talking about a garden, and he's practically talking about the girl's vagina. It's a hole, but it's locked. There is a sanctity belt that God puts upon a woman. A rock garden locked, a spring sealed off. Your wife's body is actually a place of life. That's why you should understand that when you go around putting yourself in the body of other women, when you put it in a place that is not your wife, it becomes a place of death. The only challenge is that you carry that death and come and put it in your wife's body. So he said, there is a bell. The place is locked by God. And then he said, a spring sealed up. A spring is a picture of life, but it's locked up. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with choice fruits, henna and nard plants. This is talking about different kinds of spices, different kinds of oil, but all of them has to do with the fragrance from the wife's body. You are a garden spring, is a place of life, a well of fresh water. At this particular point in time now, she has left the head, have left the neck, and they are now about to have sex. This is now, so it was described, what he was describing at this particular point in time is everything that has to do with the woman's vagina. Now look at what the woman will say. The woman is about to talk. Awake, O north wind, and come, wind of the south. Make my garden breathe out fragrance. Let his spices be wafted abroad. May my beloved come into his garden and eat his choice fruits. Now, the north wind is a symbol of strength. The south wind is a symbol of gentility. This is how to treat a woman. You have the strength, and then you treat her with gentility. You have the two. So Solomon knew. So is this woman that is now saying, have all this has been done? This is now her response. He says, my garden is breathing out fragrance. In other words, my body is ready for you. I am wet. You can perceive the fragrance. And then he said, come into your garden. In other words, now you can have sex with me. So sex is not just what you give to anybody. Sex is two people who have treated themselves well according to the integrity and the faithfulness of God. Now you have a right to each other's body. And it is choice food. Now you can eat me because you have done well. Now God is going to talk. Solomon says first, I have come into my garden. Now, I want to see how many times. See how many times he said my hair. I've come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I have gathered my myrrh along with my balsam. I have eaten my honeycomb. and my honey. I have drunk my wine and my milk. In other words, I have slept with my wife. And now God is talking. God is going to talk. Eat, friends. Drink and imbibe deeply, O lovers. You know, women will say to their husbands, is sex food? Is it food? I'm showing you now that it is food. This is now God that is talking. So, as long as both of you have strength, you don't get with your husband or with your wife, you don't get to a point where you say, we have overeaten, therefore we have entered gluttony. As long, praise the Lord. Now, you can't have sex in advance. Even when you say, let me have for the road, you can't have sex. You don't get to a point where you don't want to have sex with your wife. But I want people who are married here to understand that God says you should, Pastor Charlie, where you have been laughing and smiling. He says, eat, friends, drink deeply. So women, stop using your body to manipulate your husband. When you are angry, don't use sex as a weapon of mass destruction. Don't use sex as a matter. We can discuss the matter. And then, man, when you're angry, don't use food as a weapon of mass destruction. So I won't eat your food. No, no, those two things are not supposed to work. Sex was put in there by God. He wants both of you to enjoy yourselves. We can talk about what happened and not use sex as a weapon of mass destruction. Praise the Lord. Okay. Remember that this woman that is saying, awake north wind, awake south wind. There was a time both of them said, don't arouse love before the time. Do you remember? Yes. Now it is time to arouse love. We cannot arouse love. Having listened to all of this, I have you a few minutes left. Having listened to all of this, one will think that this couple will never have quarrel. One will think that all the things they have said, my darling, my beloved, my darling. But I discovered also in the Songs of Solomon that there was conflict. And we're going to be looking after conflict, but my time is up. So we just treat it a little bit and then forget it. Number one, I was asleep, but my heart was awake. In other words, Solomon was awake. A voice, my beloved, was knocking. Open to me, my sister, the first. My darling, my dove, my perfect one. My head is drenched with dew, my locks with the damp of the night. So he has gone to work. He's coming back from work. He has been in the desert. He's rushing back now to his oasis of love so that he can make love to his wife. So he's not at their time, they used to maintain separate bedrooms. So he was calling the wife now. Please open to me, I'm here. And now, let's see whether the wife will open. I have taken off my dress. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I dirty them again? That's the response of the wife. I'm tired. I'm having headache. I no go fit. Well, this is as much as we can take at this service. Okay, we should tidy this up. Thank you, sir. Now, this is the rest. This woman that had been all over this man all the time. Is it not the woman that said, awake north wind? She's the one that said it. Awake south wind. What happened? I don't tire. I have been walking all day. I'm tired. I've been with the children. Now, let me make, if you know you really want the best out of your wife, you must join in the work. So that when you want to cash your check won't bounce. Sex is work. Because in sex, you must be very creative, very spontaneous, and very aggressive. For that to happen, now, this lady, let's go on. This lady responds like this, very self-centered. She's thinking only about herself. My beloved extended his hand through the opening, and my feelings were aroused for him. I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands drip with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh on the hands of the bold. Now look at what happens. The man didn't force the door. He didn't say, do you know, let me pay your bride price. He didn't cry like me. He didn't use door leg to open the door. No, he didn't use it. He still treated this woman with poise, with gentility, with treated this woman like Jesus. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door of your door, heart and knock. If anyone opens, I went. He didn't, he said, you know, I've chosen to be Benin man. I've chosen to be people with a curse. Let me pay your bride price. She woman, where they sit down with the peace. No, he didn't do all of that. Now, when your wife brings quarrel, it means that she has stepped down from her place of kingship. Please, don't come down. Don't come down. Look at what she did. What this man did. This man, he took an oil, the oil of myrrh, and poured it on the handle of the door, and then he walked away. At this particular point in time, this woman felt, oh, this, my behavior is not good. And then goes to open the door for her, for him, and discovered that he has left. That's not the end of the story. But listen, sir. The thing that prevented him from coming to sleep with his wife, instead of him to use his leg to break it, what did he do? He poured oil on it. That's how to treat your wife. Now let's see how this conflict was resolved. So the woman now saw that he has left, but he didn't call a bear meeting. Say, call a baby to everybody. I say, what are we judging? Say, my wife, as I came back from work, I tired, I sweat. I just knock on the door. He refused to give me. And then elders are judging this matter. Let's see how they dealt with this conflict as time will allow us. The first one is, the woman had a selfish response. A selfish response is supposed to cause conflict. But what did the man do? Don't return evil for evil. Respond to evil with good. My beloved extended his hand through the opening, and my feelings were aroused. I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the boat. The man did not treat her like she should be treated. Instead, the man did not condescend to fight. He responded with good. The second one is, don't try to chasten your mate. Respond with love and kindness. Let's look at the scripture. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and had gone. My heart went out to him as he spoke. I searched for him, but I did not find him. I called him, but did not answer me. The watchmen who made the rounds in the city found me. They struck me and wounded me. The guardsmen of the wall took something. All right? I want you to see what happens here. When your mate has offended you, listen, you can do the work of a good mate, a good spouse, but you won't do the work. You can't do a good work of a good deity. Allow God to punish for you. You see, she left. She was not looking for the man. It was the people, the watchmen, that started beating her. It wasn't the husband. Most times when someone, your husband have done something to you, or your wife have done something to you, you take the place of God and begin to punish and begin to beat. That's not what this man did. This man allowed destiny to take a turn on this woman. She didn't. Don't be the one that will punish. Don't be the one that will make the person feel pain. He said, the pain he made me feel, I want him to feel that same pain so that he will know how painful it is to treat someone like that. Allow providence to deal with the matter for you. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, as to what you will tell him, for I am lovesick. He's the one looking for the girl. You notice, because of the man's response, that's what made this woman to behave like this. Sometimes I wish my husband is like Pastor Ben. I wish my husband is Pastor Ben. I wish my wife is like Pastor Ben. No, there are responses that brings out what you see. It is the man's response that made this woman begin to act like this. What kind of beloved is, they are not asking her, what kind of beloved is your beloved, oh most beautiful among women? What kind of beloved is your beloved? Let's see where the man went to. My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is like gold, pure gold. His locks are like clusters of dates and black as raven. His eyes are like doves. He is now describing the character of the man. You know, sometimes men, you feel that if I don't discipline my wife, he won't respect me. This is this woman's description of her husband. While I was preparing this message, the Lord asked me, how many women would describe their husbands like this? It is the man's behavior and the man's treatment of her that she is describing in this manner. Husbands, will your wife describe you like this? Everybody is saying, describe your husband since you are looking for him. He started saying all these things. So you can take time and read it on your own. I want to see. His hands are like rods of gold set with barrels. You can read them on your own. Let's see how they resolve the matter. My beloved has gone, but she knew where the husband went to. To his garden, to the beds of balsam, to pasture his flock in the gardens and gather lily. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He who pastures his flock among the lilies. You see, most times, when there is conflict at home, you leave the house. Where do you go to? The house of the side chick? That's not where she went to. Or the joint where young men are gathering together to drink. And then you're telling them, what my wife did today, imagine. I came, he locked me out. What kind of advice would they give you? Someone speaks about, you shouldn't stand with them. You shouldn't see. What kinds of advice? Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about Bible, someone said to me, Pastor, okay, let's tell ourselves the truth. Many people want the institution of marriage, but they don't want the person that instituted marriage. So if you want the institution, you must also want the person who instituted it. You can't take one and leave the other one. This man went and returned to his garden, not to the arms of another woman. And sometimes many of us use it as an excuse. He said, the way my wife cheated me, that's why I went out. No. Going out is inside you. Like Pastor Ben will always tell me, listen, what is inside you, just the right time it will come out. I won't if. Let us leave you with $1,000. And then you look like this. Especially when Pastor Ben just prophesied, get ready for sudden money. Get ready for surprises. And then you show up on 12 hours. You look around, nobody. You see money littered everywhere in church. You look anywhere. Your mind will remember surprise money. Listen to me, friends. It's not your wife that pushed you out. It's not your husband that pushed you out. Waiting push you out is there is a sickness somewhere. I tell women every day. You see, we say, oh, my husband committed adultery. I want to leave. Let me explain something to you. Because I'm an inner healing therapist, most times when you talk about wounds because you saw them. If your husband actually went out and slept with another man, he's sick. And that sickness needs to be treated. There needs to be, we have to bring the compassion and pray. He's sick. What will make a man leave the confines of his comfort and then meet a woman somewhere? Sometimes when you look at the woman the man is dating, he said, when I went there, he said, the way he treated me, the way he touched me, no, it's not the way she touched you. There is a wound that has not been healed. There are many men that still suffer from mother wound. So if anything happens, you still go home to your mom to say to your mommy, you see what my wife did to me, my wife refused. So you are talking to your mother for crying out loud. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Don't let me go passionate. Listen, a woman goes from submission to submission, from submission to her father to submission to her husband. A man goes from submission to her parents to headship. You can't come to a place of headship and then you're running back to your mother's bosom, and then you're running back to one small girl in University of Benin that have not taken her back. She doesn't know what she wants to do with her life. She's looking for someone to show her love. The love you can't show at home, but you can show one small girl. The girl will tell you, you are very stupid. Say, it's okay, it's okay. time your wife are playing, your wife touched your hair, say, "Why?" Then they forbid you. Know who I be when they touch my hair? The girl was not just touching your hair, the girl was hitting it. And you were saying, "It's okay, Fafa, just go, it's okay." This man did not go to the joint. This man did not go to the house of his. She didn't go to Uniben. She didn't go to BIU. She didn't go to Okada University. He went straight. Since you didn't allow me, let me go straight back to my office. That is your place of safety. You know, Pastor Ben told me Sunday, "Mama, my wife, you think I know they see fine girls for church? You think they fine girls? Am I blind? So am I not a fine boy?" I go ask and say, "Oh boy, girls don't toast you before." He said, "No." I said, "Why you not go tell me?" He said, "Girls never toast me. Now, girls toast me, I go tell you." Now, there are some of us, they tell you, say, "Girl toasted me. Girl toasted me. Where the girl?" He said, "They all shall. Where?" He says, "Here." Now, you come to church. You see the girl, "Praise Jehovah." You just go, "Waka bay." You gather other girls. Say, "See the girl that toasted my husband." So all of you will form a committee. Come on, let's all wake up. We have husbands. Girls, they toast them. It is now the husband's right to decide to be toasted or not to be toasted. I want to close because I'm running out of time. My final word to you today. I'm not submitting to my husband because of him. I'm submitting to my husband as worship unto God. Whether it's not his behavior or not he, or whether he behave. I want you to understand. Get it sure. Get it right. On the last day, God is not going to ask me, "Did you submit to him because of him?" The same way I come to church and I worship and lift my hands, submitting to my husband to me is a form of worship. So I do it as unto the Lord. When I do it, I'm not looking at his face. I'm looking at the face of God. The same way loving your wife is worship unto God. Adoring your wife and treating your life with gentility. You're not doing it for her. You are doing it to Jesus. Our marriages should become a convincing testimony to the cynical world. Finally, a girl told me that marriages don't work anymore. I said, "Why?" He said, "When you go to Facebook, everybody is saying, 'My marriage crashed, my husband followed to another girl, my husband sent text message.'" When they finish talking, he says, "I don't want to marry." There are many, many men who are not following any girl. So it's not, they say, it's a man thing. As long as you're a man, you will follow women. No, no, no. How many did Adam follow? As long as you be man, the thing dead there. No. It's a sign of sickness. We call it inner wound. And if you don't deal with the wound, may God forbid that you have the problem of Solomon. Rise on your feet.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.